We go back to the phone lines. Good morning. You're on the air. Good morning. Yes, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad, Mr. Bryce.
How are you today? I haven't heard you in a while.
Yeah, I was just sitting on listening and listening to Raul as usual, expounding on what some people would say. A man that expounds on expounding. I will advise Raul.
I don't want you to advise Raul on anything. Talk to me. Talk to Barbados about what you want to call talk about. Forget Raul.
Okay, let's talk to you. My first thing is that due to the fact that the National Assistant Board members, the majority of them were tested negative, it was a good sign, a very good sign. I like that. But this is where the problem occurs, Mr. Sacker Price. Imagine I have an old aunt, and this worker who is tested positive, he still come around to give her assistance. The question remains, do you know?
You're really getting on the wrong path. Because if the person has been tested negative, they would not be going wrong with the old aunt. As long as you're tested negative. Sorry, as tested positive.
Negative.
You said tested negative?
Yes, negative.
Okay, negative. My mistake. Go right ahead.
Right. I said most of the NAB workers were tested negative. But working for old people, no. There are some old people who still have that, that curiosity, that thing. Although they're tested negative, should I allow these workers to come? I'll say that they're going from one house to another house. Oh, do you try to get some old people convinced? Well, accept it as what it is.
That what you're raising is a very good point because they being the elderly person would have reservations about those people. And that's a natural thing, but it's not only the elderly who feel that way. Young people will feel that way. Everybody will feel that way because the fact about it is that you work at the NAB. All of y'all have been tested. Yes, the majority of you have tested negative, but you never could tell. We ain't know much about this disease and blah, blah, blah. So this is where now the czar as well as the health authorities would then have to reinforce the message that as long as a person tests negative, that means that they do not have it. Now, they can continue to preach that. Uh-huh. Although they're factually correct, they cannot make people believe them.
That is true.
Okay? Because just like how you are, normally, facts don't really matter. It's the opinions. Yes, I had to stick you there because it's true. That's how you come all the time. But the reality is that people will believe what they want to believe regardless of the facts. Okay? But what you are raising is really important because it is an issue where, I mean, I've read it too, where people are saying that those who were in isolation have not been tested negative and have been released from isolation. Some people are suggesting that these people should this is on social media. Some of these people should be made to stay in their house and this is the sort of hysteria that you're getting. It is unfortunate because the scientific facts suggest otherwise, but people are not interested in that. When people get hysterical, you know.
But your doctors are not always right, you know. If your doctors were always right, then a lot of things in this world go right. But, like, they are only human beings, so we go along with what they say. And it tells something that it doesn't necessarily also, Mr. Price, because you are testing negative today, that next week you might start to show symptoms. You understand? It is not something that because you're free today from the court, I don't mean the next 2 or 3 days. You might be found.
But then you may have been reinfected because once you, and that is why it is so necessary, as I was saying, about ensuring that when we go into public, we wear the mask. that all the protocols, the mask, the physical distancing, the sanitizing your hands, and taking all the other precautions are necessary and will continue to be necessary for several months to come because the disease is wrong.
That's right. Another thing too that I don't, you may not agree with this, but some people on my Facebook page have said that the jury is still out on whether the minister, the acting prime minister, Mr. Richard Carter, or the minister is doing a good job. We will have to wait in time. Time will tell whether or not they have done a good job. Do you agree with that?
Whether they've done a good job?
Yeah, time will tell.
But I am not into, I am, my interest, I have to be honest with you, I have not even thought about whether somebody doing a good job or a bad job. My interest is, are they getting the information out there? Are they putting the policies in place to help the population through this? Are they talking to the population and are they tweaking where it's necessary? They're doing these things. Mistakes are being made, of course,
because
this is new territory. Mm-hmm. But mistakes are being made all over the world. I saw President Trump go from left to right, you know, and without skipping a beat and without even acknowledging that he was talking foolishness before. The reality is that all over the world, this is happening. Prime Minister Boris Johnson, He worked in the way that I'm sure doctors would have advised him that he should not have when he was first diagnosed. Then he spent three days and it was touch and go. He's now out. You can see from watching the videos on BBC when he's speaking, you can see that he is not a well man.
I know.
Because he's still recovering. And his voice is now one of total caution because he's been there. He's been bitten by the bug. He's been there. So he's now cautioning on everything. And you're hearing from him, I don't know when last you listened to him, but since he has recovered, you find that there's a level of restraint in his voice. There's not that level of enthusiasm where he seems to just jump into things like before. He's now more patient, more measured, and that's the word I'm looking for. He's much more measured in his statements because he recognizes the gravity of the situation. And I think that, and that's why your first point just now is so important, and I commend you for making that point, where people have got to recognize that this is something that the doctors are not, they're working with it, but it keeps evolving. The goalposts keep moving. So it's like before the World Health Organization, we're not so fussy on masks. My word, fussy. They were not keen on masks. They didn't see the need for it. Then they came back a few weeks later and said, yes, they would advise people wear masks. Because they're learning. Everybody is learning at every single level. And that is why it's important where those in authority continue to engage the public on a regular basis as they've been trying to do. As they have been doing, it is important that they continue to tweak whatever policies they put in place. When they recognize that something ain't working, you change it, right? Because nothing here is set in stone. Nothing. And going back to the first issue you raised, it is necessary to keep that communication open with the public so that they recognize that when someone has been tested negative, that person, as far as they are concerned, is safe. They can only do that. That's all they can do. And they can only ask you to have confidence in what they're doing. But it's up to you to have your own opinion. But from where I sit, I think that generally speaking, we've had a pretty satisfactory job being done. And as I said, mistakes have been made, but I expected that because this is new territory to everybody. All right. Thanks for the lovely discussion, and I hope to hear you sometime again. Brass Tacks, I took the opportunity in the break just now to just go and get some sun because it's a little chilly in here. I was amazed at the amount of traffic on River Road. I mean, the cars are backed up right around. If anyone who knows where Starcom is, you know, we're right basically in the corner. And the cars are backed up. Coming from the hospital side, they're just backed up to just past NASCO. And I peeped and I saw there's a long line of still out there by Jordan's. There's a line over there by Crumbs. And as I said, there's a lot of traffic right here on River Road this morning. And I just can't help but wonder, you know, where so many people are going and whatnot. I mean, for the traffic themselves, with the traffic itself, the ones from Jordan's, the ones for the supermarket and for the bread shop, well, I can understand that. But there's just a lot of traffic, and we're not talking buses. We're not talking minibuses. We're talking vehicles, passenger vehicles. Anyhow, I'd just like to read this WhatsApp for you. Good morning. As soon as COVID came to Barbados, the National Assistance Board put measures in place. The home care workers are going to the most vulnerable. Most of the families refuse home care from the onset. Workers are only going to two houses a day. And workers are working near to where they live to shorten the commute. I'm not certain if this person is working with the NAB or not, but that message seems to have some measure of insider knowledge connected to it. Anyhow, we go back to the phone lines. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Bray.
How are you today?
I am very good, thank you.
Good.
How are you?
I am a little warmer.
Thank God for that.
Yeah, man.
Because my family up the road is having some up and down cold and warm weather and whatnot.
Where are they? In Canada?
Yes, in the U.S. of A.
Where in the U.S.?
Eh?
Where in the U.S.?
In Brooklyn.
Oh, in Brooklyn. Oh, okay.
Yes. Some in Brooklyn, some in Boston, some in Queens. Some in Portugal, some in England.
Cool. You have a good range. Do you communicate on a daily basis? On WhatsApp, or how do you communicate?
It's old-fashioned. So I call long distance, or the children, the others have their WhatsApp and whatnot. That is how they communicate.
I see.
You get me?
I know you called about something else, so please keep that in mind. But what I want to engage you on here now is what are they saying in terms of how their feelings about what is happening within their particular area, like in Brooklyn, for example, where there have been so many lives lost to COVID.
Mm-hmm. It is terrifying. Mm-hmm. It is terrifying. They are trying their effort best to keep as safe and, what I should say, sanitary as possible. Mm-hmm. But it is terrifying. Mm-hmm. Because this morning, I hear on the news that more people, I think the word said, died with this COVID than in the Vietnam War. Mm. Did you hear that?
No, but I think, in Vietnam, I think just over 58,000 Americans had died. 58,000, 60,000 Americans had died. I've never really seen a definitive figure for the Vietnamese who would have perished. But the Americans are just under 60,000.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I remember.
But anyway, I am in Barbados. I was born in Barbados. I live in the U.S. of A. I work in the U.S. of A as a nurse. I work from St. Michael's Arms. We used to call it St. Michael's Arms South, mm-hmm. to the Queen Elizabeth Hospital. Mm-hmm. And I know what it is to work with infectious diseases. And thank God, the Lord has taken me out and he's brought me back in safe, and I've never contracted anything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling the nurses here in Barbados, do not wear their uniforms on the road, and please protect themselves. They know what to do, protect themselves. Next, that young man that is 16 years old, I have some grands and great grands. He could be my grandson any day. And I pray that he will keep it up and do the best to make himself proud, his country and his family and his country. For he is excellent. Next thing, these people need to stop fooling around and take this thing serious. I hope and I pray that the Prime Minister would extend this curfew until December. Because 8 to 6, I can sleep at night. I don't hear no more motorcycles. You trying to sleep. And he's zooming the motor cars.
Mm-hmm.
And you jump up in your sleep. Oh, no. Extend it, please, till December. I feel happy. Yep. I will protect myself. I'm 80 years old. And I'm asking everybody that has a Bible to look at the chapter of the 26th chapter of Isaiah and the 20th verse and read it and continue to read Jeremiah and see all that is going on. Now, it is not fun. So stop fooling around. If you have to go and you wear a mask, wear your mask. Use your sanitizers and sort of protect yourself. This is no joke worldwide. I born in Barbados 8 years ago, and I never hear nothing like this in all my days in the wartime. We had to take rations and go in alphabetical order also. But let me tell you, it was strict straight. If you don't have to be outside, you then had no reason to be outside. Next thing, with the children and the homeschooling and so, we had no fancy computers nor nothing like that. And when my mother leave home, my father used to work with the governor, and he was transferred to St. Lucia with the governor. And when my mother leave home to go to work, and she left them arithmetic and that English and thing for you to do, when she come back home, you better got it done, and you better be inside. And we brought our children the same way, you know, everybody changes and so, but this is no joke, okay?
Thank you very much. Have you ever called the calling program before?
Yeah. I talked to you too.
You talked to me as well?
Yeah.
I see.
And that's I'm trying to get hold of Mr. Wickham, but he's so busy.
Uh-huh.
So I get you. So I hope you're jealous.
No, I don't think Peter would be jealous. he's very warm hearted.
We chat all the time though.
Yes, Peter's a
because we used to exercise down St. James together long time ago.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
I see. But you were telling us just now about the war. I mean, you would have to be a little girl at that time.
Yes, yes. When the war over, I was in sixth standard. When we got the
sixth standard. That's
school.
How age? What age?
Let me see. Look, just give me a break to go back. Let me see how old I was. 13.
13.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
A big girl, man.
13.
Yes.
You get me?
Uh-huh.
And we had to go to the, you know, the, what they call though, the Abundant Life?
Yes.
Abundant Life. We used to go there with our ration ticket.
That was a government office?
I can't remember if that was, it used to be the way you go and grind corn.
Uh-huh. It was a plantation. A plantation.
Right.
It used to double.
It
yeah,
used to be a plantation. Right,
right,
uh-huh. Right. So we had a ticket, and we had to go there to get a certain days. Like, oh, it is now.
Mm-hmm.
You can crowd. And that was the war. That wasn't the disease time.
Mm-hmm.
So you had to go with that ticket to get a half a pint of rice for each household person. No more.
Mm-hmm.
Some kerosene oil. And the three things you used to get in those days, and we had to make do with whatever was out that time. The groceries and so used to come from England. You get me?
Mm-hmm.
To dish out, to share out.
Mm.
And my Barbados shut down. Like we didn't have any electricity or nothing like that. You had to shut down because you didn't know when the enemy then come in, because they come right in our harbor here, not the harbor, the Greenwich,
mm-hmm.
and hit the Cornwallis that came down from England with all the groceries for us.
Mm-hmm.
You get me? From then to this day, don't drink condensed milk. Because the condensed milk, they bang up and had lumps. You get me?
Mm-hmm.
From then to this day, I don't touch condensed milk. All the materials had the oil and everything on it. Mm-hmm. And that wasn't no disease. This is a disease.
Mm-hmm.
So stop fooling around and listen to what the medical people say and what they have to say. And please, extend this thing to December for me. I feel good that I could sleep at night now.
And I'm sure there are quite a few people who would agree with you in terms of being able to sleep at night. Apart from the kites, it's great not to hear those motorcycles at night. It really, really is. Thank you, my dear. Thank you so very much for calling, and stay safe. We go to the next call. Good morning. You are on the air.
Yes, good morning to you. How are you doing?
I am well. And you?
Yes, sir. I am trusting the Lord.
Good.
My question today, not really my question, but I call back. That's because I know you all are have a lot of connections. I have a son that is going to do the 11 plus exam, but apparently the school were supposed to issue them with some devices. And the teacher is saying that you have to wait on the head teacher to get permission from the ministry. I don't know if you could throw that question out there or speak to some person from the ministry of education, because there was a number that they gave us and we were calling, but no response.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if you could throw that question out there. You may have connections or know some person from ministry of education that would be able to give a direct tip mm-hmm. on that, because
on getting these devices for online classes, yes. Mm-hmm.
Are going on, and the children could be at a disadvantage mm-hmm. in terms of that. So,
tell me, do you have do you have more than one child in your household right now?
Yes, sir.
And so the online classes that are going on, are they participating in any way?
No, sir. Because unfortunately for me, the laptop isn't working, and my phone, it is not allowing me something about space. It's an old phone, basically, so I'm not able to go on none of these the places, the websites that the teacher had told us to log on to.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not able to, but he said that the ministry had issued the devices or whatever it is that to the children, but they are at the school. So my question is that these classes are going on. Can there be a special arrangement made for the parents to collect the tablet or something like that? That's what I want to know, because every child is not privileged to have access to devices or devices in homes
mm-hmm.
per se that they could just log on. So some children are at a disadvantage.
So what are you doing now in terms of helping your child or your children? Since they can't participate in the e-learning process, since they don't have any devices, any tablets or laptops, what are you doing to assist them?
Well, I try as a parent to sit down and do math and English and stuff with them, but the books also, because of the sudden closure of the school, my class, four children, son, everything that would be thing with the exam is also at the school.
Mm.
Because the school was closed abruptly, as we all know, because of what had happened.
And you're aware of other parents who are in the same boat as you in terms of?
Yes, we have a chat with the teacher. Right, so that's how I would be able to relate to you, that he said that, right, that they're at the school, and but the head teacher is waiting on the ministry probably to give some kind of
mm-hmm.
direction as to how they will receive the devices.
Okay. Tell me, so you're in a group chat on WhatsApp with the teacher?
Yes, he has a thing set up for the parents to let you know what's happening with the kids and stuff like that. Yeah.
So isn't he able to send some work for them over that group chat?
No, please. That's where he was trying to get us on. Something in Zoom and Google this and post everything that, like I said, because I have a small phone, it wasn't allowing me to get on.
Okay. All right. Well, look, thank you very much. And the area of online, when I started, I mentioned that online education, online teaching is an area of major concern. And hopefully we'll be able to get some word before the end of the program to answer your questions. So thank you so very much for sharing with us, and I wish you all the best. Thank you. Move to another call. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you today, sir?
I am fine, thanks. And how are you?
I'm well.
Just a few quick points here, Sankar.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that the public at large, the employer and employee, including self-employed persons, recognize the value of the NIS, which is coming to a very bright light because of this COVID-19. We've had reports of employers deducting payments from employees and not paying it into the national insurance and stuff like that. And I really think that the COVID-19 has highlighted the value and importance of the national insurance scheme in this current situation. And I would also like to suggest that the NIS make provisions for self-employed persons, make some modifications to their contributions so that going forward, they too can benefit from the unemployment benefit. As I understand it, currently they can't benefit. They can benefit from sick pay and from pensions, but not from unemployment. The other thing is, one of your previous callers made a reference to the hotel sector and businesses helping the government. While I agree that the government can't do it alone and would need any assistance that it can get from the commercial sector, hotels especially at this time are hurting and hurting badly. There's no revenue coming in. They're not tourists, and they're no visitors, no guests, and they still have overheads to pay. Even though there might be a moratorium, at the end of the day, you still have to pay utility, you still have to pay your electricity, you need to have security in place and so on. So I don't anticipate that a lot of hotels will be able to assist the government at this time. Lenny Monkey situation. I was aghast at this burning of the monkey. I chase monkeys out of my backyard every day, but I would never contemplate or condone the burning of the monkeys. Yes, there are nuisances, and we need to find a better way to deal with it. Burning is not the answer. And we, as human beings, are responsible for some of the challenges that monkeys face because we are constantly invading their habitat and running them out. The case at Paradise Beach is a classic example. Monkeys used to live down there in the gullies in peace and quiet. And when the four-season development started, they cleared away every tree from that property. Every single tree was bulldozed. The monkeys who lived down there ran into West Terrace and Wanstead and the surrounding areas, and that's where they live. That's where they live, and they are now causing tremendous amount of heartache for the residents of Wanstead and West Terrace areas because their habitat at Paradise Beach was destroyed. So we have to carry some of the blame for it as well. And my final point is, I'm delighted to hear everybody now talking about agriculture. All of a sudden, agriculture has come, and food production, I should say, has become important. May she rest in peace. But for the longest time, Dr. Francis Chandler has been warning us of the importance of being self-sufficient wherever possible in vegetables and other food crops. And a lot of what she was saying fall on deaf ears. I remember Dr. Chandler saying, you need a doctor maybe once or twice a year, but you need a farmer every day. And is as simple as that statement sounds. I find it to be very true, because we eat every day, and therefore I'm glad that agriculture and food production is now coming back into some focus, and I hope that it doesn't only come back into focus and is talked about, but I hope that it is implemented. I heard a caller said that the fields at Wakefield Plantation have been plowed, and that is a good sign. That is a step in the right direction. I remember going to Wakefield Plantation years ago. They had a system that they called pick your own tomatoes and pick your own orchards and pick your own whatever. And you would go up there, these fields, and you would be able to pick whatever you need, take it to the guy in there, get it weighed and pay for it, and move on. So I'm delighted that that is happening, that at least the fields are being plowed, which is an indication that something is happening.
Thank you very much. I really can't add to anything that you said there. Well articulated. We have to take a commercial break, but before we do, I like the mother who called just now to please call back and just give the producer your number. We're trying to organize something here from someone at the ministry, but we're also trying to get word from the ministry as well. But just call back and let's get your number. I also want the 16-year-old who called earlier, please. We need a call back, and just give the producer your number. So as soon as you call, the producer will answer the phone. Just give your number and your name, and we are going to get back to you. The Brass Stats. During the break, I was able to make connection with an official from the Ministry of Education, and the word is the ministry is working on the distribution of tablets to children. They're working on contracts for the parents to sign regarding the tablets, and this will be communicated to the public in due course. And this is supposed to take place very, very shortly. We will continue to work on actually trying to get someone from the Ministry of Education here to say something. Hopefully that will take place before 12:30, or if any, or after 12:30. But certainly, that's what we're working on here right now. So we'd like to ask the mother who called earlier to please call back, give your number to the producer, and the 16-year-old youngster, please call back, give your number again to the producer, and we will be in contact with you. This is Brass Tacks. Good afternoon. You're on the air. Good morning. Sorry. You're on the air. Good morning. Hello. Go right ahead. Yes, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Price.
Good morning, how are you?
I good. Let me follow up before, though. The late Carmita Fraser always used to say, eat what you grow and grow what you eat, right?
Yes, and food comes first.
Carmita Fraser?
You should know Carmita Fraser. Of course I know. I taste her hand many times.
Oh, okay. Yes, and another thing. I'm glad to hear that 16-year-old guy that calling.
Yes.
Right. Now, I want to hear from I want to know how my prime minister doing. Hello?
Yes,
Yeah, I want to hear how my prime minister is doing. Because I want to hear the updates. I want to hear the updates about the NIS. Because I know I pay my NIS money. Mm-hmm. And I want to hear if the curfew will be shorter or longer.
Mm-hmm. But what do you think should be happening with the curfew?
Pardon me?
What do you think should be happening right now? What would you suggest we should be doing now?
I believe this is a point back at the first beginning. You know, when we had the first one that we had instead of 24 hours. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just basically 18-hour curfew.
Yes, you know, just get a little ease and let the people distance themselves and so on.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I want to hear from what she would be doing. But most of all, I want to hear about the update on the NIS.
Yeah. What exactly do you want to hear from the NIS?
Pardon me?
What exactly you want to hear from the NIS?
the payments that are supposed to go for last week.
But the payments went out. 5.3 million went out last week alone.
But everybody did not receive any. So I want on the update. A lot of people did not receive. Only some received last week, but you know, other people did not receive any.
Yeah, but there are thousands of people involved, so that's the thing. But so the first set would have received, you know, received an average of $1,000 basically, because instead of getting the 2 weeks, which is the normal thing, they were given 4 weeks one time, right? So yeah. Obviously, you don't really niche every day.
I want to know if she's doing good, if she's coming along, if she's getting better, good, and whatever. Mm-hmm. So I hope to hear from her. And, you know, as I say, the NIS and the Kerfu, and other little things that she will drop in. Mr. Price?
Uh-huh.
Well, I don't hear you on Ken's show no more, but anyhow, we don't have to have you. We have Winston. Well, you the got you hiding. You can't come out no more. We got Grace to know.
And I miss the show. I really do.
So you're coming back? When you're coming back?
I don't know. I tend to work on Tuesday nights.
Okay.
That's why. Anyhow, thanks for your contribution. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Mr. Price. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. And you?
I am calling in because I would like them to extend the curfew because some of we Bajans are not taking it very, very, very seriously.
What makes you say that?
In USA.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I was a Bajan nurse and I am a nurse in USA. God was so good to me that he kept me here. Because I would be one on the front line, too. Unfortunately, I'm asthmatic, so I can't be out there. And I can't even get back. I am realizing that some people are not wearing the mask. Mm-hmm. For some reason, I don't understand why are they not taking this thing seriously.
It baffles me as well. It really does.
So many nurses that worked in the operating room with me in Brooklyn. Also in Jersey. My daughter is there with her children. My sons are there. My relatives are there. We here in Barbados, we got a good opportunity. And we need to take cautious of whatever we are doing.
What are you hearing from your colleagues about the conditions?
Every day is so devastating. Up to yesterday, actually, my husband even quarreled me. Why are you listening? Because I'm not there, but they are keeping me updated on what's going on. And it burns. It hurts.
Could you relate to some of the things that you've been hearing from them?
Yeah, they're saying that you got some person today. You're looking after the person. And before 12 o'clock, they're gone. The pain, the agony. They're saying that people are dying without even their relatives know that they're expired. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on.
Okay. And how are they taking it, you know?
You know, some of the frontline workers are taking it very, 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 very hard. Because when you care for a patient, that patient becomes a part of you. And it's sad to know that they expired. It's sad.
Mm-hmm. And
thank God that I got stuck here. Because I probably would be one in a box, too.
What makes you say that?
What makes me say what?
Because
I am, like I said, I'm asthmatic, mm-hmm. and I would be one on the front line
mm-hmm.
in United States. You don't know who got it. There's a lot of people out there walking with it, and they're not conscious that they have it. So we got to be careful here. Very be careful.
So while you're here now, have you given any thought about volunteering your services? In
I wanted to, but like I said, I'm asthmatic. So I'm not going to go, and so I'm going to put myself out there. I can do the phone calls or check up on the patient on the phone. But otherwise, I'm not going to go out there. You know, I had called the COVID hotline and tell them if they need my service, what I can do. But basically, I'm not going to put myself out there on the front line. I can't do it right now. Not with the asthma.
I see. Speaking about asthma, don't go away, but somebody apparently is burning stuff in the area of Ruby and Union St. Philip, and it's really causing a number of people some discomfort. So
yeah, they don't realize that asthmatic people are very, very prone to all the burning of the stuff and everything. You got to be careful. For me, I can't even get my medications here. I can't get no medications here.
So how are you managing if you can't get your medication? What are you doing?
My doctor happened to send a thing over where, a prescription over where I can have whatever substitute you guys have here because I'm allergic to Buterol.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So, you know, that's why I'm one of the persons that are scared to go on the front line right now.
Fair enough. Well, it's nice talking to you, but we have to take a break for the regional roundup.